What's going on, you guys? Another episode of the Strain Forward podcast coming at you. Again, my name is Kyle Bernier. I'm your host. The point of this podcast is to just highlight people who have gone through challenging things. They're constantly striving to be the best version of themselves, and we want to motivate you guys out there to do the exact same thing. Today, we're interviewing a friend of mine named Storm Murphy. I know him through one of my best friends who was an earlier guest, Landon Tucker. Landon is married to Storm's sister, which is a whole other story, which is super awesome. They're great. But Storm played basketball at the collegiate level and at the professional level, and is an incredible athlete, And I'm really excited for him to share with you guys just some of the things he's learned, experienced, gone through, the training, like all of it. It's going to be really great. So without further ado, Storm, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, bro?
Thanks for having me. Happy to join on. And just like you said, you know, my journey in sports has been kind of my whole life growing up. You know, got really, really obsessed with basketball at a really early age. You know, had great, you know, family and parents pushing me to that dream. And through a lot of growth, a lot of ups and downs, you know, roller coasters and great times, hard times, I was able to play, you know, 5 years in college at the Division I level. That was always kind of dream that I had to attain, as I told myself, and then ultimately played overseas in Germany for 1 year. Tons of, you know, ups and downs within it all, and God moments and miracle stories, but ultimately was super blessed to be able to do all that.
No, that's awesome, man. So let's start here. Let's start with like early childhood.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were probably an athlete your whole life and you played other sports when you were young. But like, when did it click for you that basketball was like the thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I did. I grew up playing, you know, tackle football with all the older kids in the neighborhood, and soccer was huge. I actually started playing hockey before basketball. So I lived in Minnesota for 3 years, played hockey, taught myself how to skate, thought that was my thing. You know, I loved Sidney Crosby. I was going to be the next him. Ended up not at all. But when I moved to Wisconsin, had to make that decision for the winter sport, whether I keep it going with hockey or I switch to basketball. Some of the football players and teammates and classmates in fourth grade and fifth grade, they were big into basketball. Their parents played college basketball, so they were coaches. Fell in love with basketball. Started realizing I was pretty skilled, kind of creative. You know, I was a point guard, an undersized guy, which you have to be. Just kind of really fell in love with the sport. We had a really, really good team, two or three really, really good teammates, one of which also played Division I with me. So kind of just growing up with them through fifth, sixth, seventh grade, we had some really, really good years, and fell in love with it. So it was still, you know, football and baseball intertwined there. But once I got to high school, kind of dropped everything else. And from freshman year on, it was only an obsession with basketball. So then it was kind of year-round, school seasons, travel AAU seasons. But really that freshman year is kind of where I had to, you know, fully take the gamble on myself and say, hey, you know, I'm going to have to get really, really good at this if I want to make it.
Yeah. So when you started playing as a young kid, you said you realized you had some skill there. Were you just naturally good at it?
I think so. Like, I think I was. I did play just a bunch in the, you know, in the yard, in the driveway. I think I watched a lot of NBA and old clips and Jordan highlights growing up. You know, my dad was not that great. Let's not let him hear this, but he wasn't that great. So I learned through videos and watching highlights and kind of just tried to mimic players. I think, you know, just like dribbling and passing and shooting, that was kind of, you know, my MO and what made my career. So from an early age, I really tried to progress at those things and get better and better. And I was also just kind of creative, you know, as a point guard. I kind of always had to think two steps ahead and try to figure out how to guard someone bigger than me or get by someone quicker than me or stronger than me. So I think, you know, I always had that mindset really, really early age. Because I grew up playing against older kids, football, baseball, everything was older kids. Right. So I kind of had a, you know, disadvantage to start. So that creativity came in and, I think, you know, throughout middle school, I started seeing, you know, I was able to do crazy behind the back passes or different moves. I didn't even know I was able to do, but I'd say so a little bit.
Dude, that is so awesome. That's it. Okay. So one, I can relate to you in a sense where you find the thing that you're just naturally good at. Like for me, it was CrossFit. And
Yeah.
like people ask me like, well, how did you learn to do a muscle up? And it was like, dude, I watched someone do it. I grabbed the rings and I did it. It's
Yeah.
like, I don't know. And like, not
Yeah.
everyone's like that. So if you kind of find these things, these niches where you're just naturally good at something. I had a second thought where I was going with that. But like, as you so as you were developing and you were like playing in middle school, in high school, whatever, like going against kids that were older than you, you kind of learn. I imagine you just what you said, like you had to learn how to adapt and survive,
Yeah.
and that creativity was like kind of like it was like your disadvantage on ended up becoming your advantage.
100%. Yeah. And even fast forwarding all of that into college, my freshman year, I had to grow up really quick. And so I was playing with seniors and juniors who had won championships already. They've been through it in the college level. And I'm a little tiny high school graduate going into college, but 4 games into the season, I was starting a divisional basketball team as a freshman. And so I think, backtracking to middle school and to even before that, when I was in the neighborhood playing with all these older kids, getting bloody noses, it really made me grow up and realize that I kind of had to hold my own and find my own different ways to do that. So when I was a freshman in college, I'd find out what does coach really want from a point guard? What does he want from a freshman? How can I impress a senior and a junior, someone that's older than me, and get them to like me, pass me the ball a little bit more? So little ways I was able to find, and I knew it was going to be kind of a service, right? To kind of serve my team to make my spot and get my minutes to start. And so I think, yeah, all the years of being in that role helped me excel my freshman year of college. Yeah.
Yeah. How when you went into college, how big were you? Because you're
I was,
what, you're 6'1"?
I'm about, yeah, with some, extra height in basketball shoes, probably 6 feet. I was probably 5'10", 5'11" going into college, but really skinny. Like, that was my biggest thing. I had to eat a ton, lift a ton. That was a big adjustment getting to college. Yeah.
Yeah, because point guards are usually about that size, is that right? Yeah, what's a tall point guard? Like 6'3" would be a tall point guard, 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3" would be really tall. I mean, there's a lot of shooting guards that are 6'1", 6'2". So 6'3" would be tall. Yeah, and it scales too with mid-major basketball, like Wofford College level, 5'10" to 6'1". And then you get an ACC, level Division I, it's going to be 6'1" to 6'4".
Yeah. So let's go through your high school career. So you're playing ball, you start dialing it in freshman year, or you decide like this is what you want to do, and then you do that through the rest of your high school career. What were some of the ups and downs of it? Like, did you start right away as a freshman, or did you kind of have,
No.
what was that journey like?
Yeah, so that was kind of the biggest setback for me, which it was a blessing in disguise. But my freshman year, I came in and, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to make at least JV. I'm going to make varsity. I'm more skilled than anyone here. I was also way smaller than anyone, smaller than I even thought. And so I made freshman. That was kind of the thing. I was too small to make JV and play on that level. Played freshman my freshman year, which was kind of a for me, but ended up being great. I learned how to lead a team. I learned how to win. I learned how to score in different ways because I was leading our freshman team and we went 20-0 that whole season. I averaged 20 plus points and we had a really, really good year. Even though it was just freshman basketball, it was really, really important to lead the team. From there, I skipped JV. So my sophomore year, I made varsity. And our high school is really, really big. I think we have 26, 2700 students. It's one of the biggest division ones in the state of Wisconsin. So it was really competitive. To make varsity in my sophomore year was huge. So big
Yeah,
jump
that's
there.
a good.
Big jump there. I was really small, really tiny still, but at least I had made varsity and that was a big improvement. So I kind of took these small wins all throughout my career and celebrated them. Was happy to do that. I did not start still my sophomore year. So that was still another thing that was kind of at a deficit, kind of at a disadvantage in where I would want to be. I want to be starting. I want to be a leading scorer and doing all that.
Yeah.
Wasn't at the time. So really had to work through my sophomore year. I think I averaged maybe about 7 points a game. Just played solid minutes though. One opportunity to start at Madison West, and I was so excited about it. And so we got that little taste, and then my junior year kind of was a whole different ball game. Started played most minutes on the team, averaged 18 points a game, and we were one of the best teams in the state. So that sophomore to junior jump was huge.
Dude, that's awesome. Wow. Yeah, so that sophomore year was really just like you were just like scratching at the you were just like waiting for your turn, just like doing what you got to do, training, just waiting for your moment.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I remember I had one game my sophomore year, and I'll never forget it. I was 6 for 6 from three in the first half, like first 10 minutes. Everyone's like, who is this little kid, this little thing? And I'm just out there draining shots. And so that was like, and I did finish the game with 18. I didn't score again. But I got these tastes, of what stardom on the varsity level would be. So that was super motivating. I'd get those opportunities and wanted that full experience junior and senior year, which I was able to get.
No, that's so cool, man. So junior year you start, senior year you start. How did that senior year end up for you? Did you guys win state? Like what ended up happening?
Yeah, so we were actually preseason ranked first. We played against our rival in our conference that was second preseason in the state. First game of the year, we lost to them. And kind of went through that year, top three in the state, first and second throughout our conference. We did not make it to state. We lost in the sectional semis to go to state. A team that just held the ball for like 3 minutes of possession. They had no shot clock. So it was super whack. But
And
it
no
was
shot clock.
no shot clock in high school. No shot clock in high school. Certain states do, but we didn't in Wisconsin, and they just held the ball 3 to 4 minutes because we had two Division I players on our team, and they weren't going to let us get the ball. So they were smart to do it, but it was so frustrating. Yeah.
That's
So
yeah.
we didn't make it to state. Never did in my career. Super bummed about it. But I think, even backtrack a little bit. Big point in my high school career. Was after toward the end of my junior year. And to tie my whole faith in here, I was really struggling with the fact that I had no scholarships yet. I had no opportunity to go play at the collegiate level. And I got two Division II offers the spring of my junior year. I go into that spring playing against some travel AAU basketball, some guys I know in the area. They're getting all these Division I offers. Really frustrated. Kind of wrestling with God, like, why are these guys getting offers? I'm better than them. This is my dream. I'm just really, really upset. One of my really, really good friends, he had made it to the Division I level, and he told me, you can't rush perfection. So when he told me you can't rush perfection, it was a game changer for me because I had believed that all my life, kind of God's plan was perfect, and that his will all happen for my life. It's already to fruition, but I didn't trust the timing. I was frustrated that I hadn't had the offer yet. So as soon as he told me that, it was kind of a revelation for me. I was like, wow, I believe the process and the plan will be perfect, but the timing needs to be perfect. I need to trust that. So I kind of let go of my frustrations and I just played basketball. The next week, I got a miraculous opportunity to switch teams, play on a Nike team in Chicago. Starting that with team that now has four starting NBA players, Jordan Poole, Ayo Dosunmu, Taylor Horton Tucker, these guys who are making hundreds of millions of dollars in the NBA now. I was starting on their team in AU, and that is what really opened the door to the Division I level. So it was literally the next week after I kind of opened my hands up and said, "All right, time is yours as well." So that was really
That's
what led me to
crazy.
college. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll have to forgive me because I'm not super familiar with how basketball works and stuff.
Yeah.
So, see, so AAU, so that Nike team was a part of AAU.
Yep. So we were a travel team in the summer, so spring and summer seasons. And the really, really good teams have certain leagues. So they're sponsored by Under Armour, Nike, Adidas. And this was a team in Chicago, Jabari Parker, Jalen Brunson, and Will Okafor played for. So super famous, college and NBA players.
Wow.
And I was really familiar with the team. Actually, the week before I got the offer, we were playing in Indiana at the small tournament for this other team I was on. And then the UIBL was happening, this Nike circuit. Told my dad, I begged my dad, can we go watch these guys? I paid money to go watch these guys. Coach K is there, Coach Krzyzewski, the best players, Trae Young, Porter Jr., all these guys. I'm filming them. I'm sending videos back to my family, to my friends about Coach K's here, all these players are here. I'm just like starstruck, right?
Oh yeah.
the next week I'm playing for that team, starting against all of
Crazy.
those players. I just went to go pay to watch. And so it
Wow.
was a complete miracle to be able to get to do that. I was, so blessed to have that. And that's really what opened the door for me to get noticed, because I played well there, to go to college and get some Division I offers.
Yeah, so that just ended up giving you more exposure, essentially.
Yep. Tons more exposure.
That's awesome. And how long, so you were on that team for what? That just that spring summer season?
Spring, summer season, probably about 3 or 4 months. Yep.
And then that led into your senior year,
Yep.
right? And then you played
Yep.
senior year, and then you went and played college ball.
Yep, correct. I committed to Wofford 2 weeks after they offered me in the summer of 2016, it must have been. So I committed to Wofford before my senior year of high school. So I knew where I was going, had a good senior year, and then just went off to Wofford.
That's awesome. Okay, so then transitioning into college ball, let's talk about that transition period, because you said when you went in, you were still really small. So I imagine that probably presented a whole new set of challenges.
Oh yeah.
And what was that like?
Yeah, I remember, coming in the first couple weeks, we had just kind of like a player run, 5-on-5 scrimmages, get to know each other. Let's play up and down. Coaches aren't around. And I remember like not getting the ball, not getting any shots. I mean, all these seniors, juniors, sophomores, guys who have been playing in college now, I'm just the bottom of the totem pole. I'm just this young little small guy who's not really getting a chance. I was kind of hurt. I'm like, wow, this is not going to go well, or this is going to take years and years for me to get on the court. So that was really hard the first probably month or two of the summer, getting acclimated to that life. And then at the same time, all the weights coaches and the coaches on the team are saying, I got to get bigger, I got to eat. So I was eating till, I could not eat anymore every single day, every single meal. Weights training was very, very intense. Really progressed there though. And so my summer was summer before freshman year was very difficult at school. And then had a really good preseason, kind of got acclimated and found out, like I mentioned before, how to please the coaches, how to do what they want, how can a point guard best serve the team
Yeah.
and get minutes. And so then did that through the first four games, played well, and then started. So
You end up starting your freshman year or by your sophomore year?
my freshman year, four games in. Yeah. So I think the fourth, I think the fifth game in, I started. Yeah. So then it was,
That's pretty incredible.
it was something I was always kind of aiming for and wanted to do. I had a chip on my shoulder when I wasn't starting. I had, this motivation to get there. And always kind of had that belief that I could do it and that I was better than the other people that were doing it. Hopefully I'm a great guy and I'm not going to cause beef with anyone on the team or anyone, but you have to have that competition mindset. And so I had that, and eventually coaches looked at, my stats and what I was producing on the court with the team, and said, our team's running well with him out there. So gave me the keys to the car.
Dude, that's so awesome. Yeah, it's an interesting point when you're, well, it's an interesting thing, like when you want to be a great teammate, you have to be a great teammate in order to have a great team. But at the same time, you kind of have to be a little bit like mean, a little bit angry in order to get what you want out of your career. So there's like these moments where you have to kind of draw a line between being friends and being like, hey, right now I'm not your friend, dude. I'm trying to take your spot because I want to play. But you're also still like a human being and I love you and I care about you, but like I'm gonna beat you. And so like that can be really that dichotomy can be really challenging at times.
Very challenging. I mean, there were a few months in that freshman year where I remember I was not, in a good headspace for teammates. I was very focused on me, goals and my aspirations. And I did have to learn, and I did learn through some great teammates actually, who they are stars. They're very competitive on the court, but as soon as that whistle blows, as soon as practice is over, they're the nicest guys in the world. They're the best to hang out with. They're super fun, great locker room people. And our coaches, I mean, Coach Young, he had a great way of also being that way, of really pushing buttons and really getting on players, but at the same time, you know, joking with them and through this being able to, you know, welcome people in and bring people together, kind of be able to do both. So I kind of learned and had to learn as a point guard and, you know, assume leader of the teams, how to push buttons, how to get on people, how to lead well and be hold people accountable, but also have fun and be, you know, a lighthearted person who's welcoming and enjoyable to be around too.
Oh, that's so cool, man. So you played for, because you eventually transferred to Virginia Tech, right?
Yep, my senior year.
Okay, so you were at Wofford for 3 years, and then you transferred to Virginia Tech. Why'd you end up doing that?
Yeah, so I was actually at Wofford for four years at Wofford.
Okay.
And then we got the COVID year. So I had that extra year of eligibility to go and play. And I had a really good senior year at Wofford. I thought about just going pro right away. But when I had that opportunity to go play high-level Division I Power 5 basketball, I kind of couldn't pass it up. I knew I'd still be able to go play pro after that year. So this could either only help my chances or be a ton of fun. So growing up, you know, I always wanted to play for Duke or, you know, play for Kansas or Kentucky or one of these big, big schools, even Wisconsin, you know, here, my home state. So when I put my name in the portal, had some immediate interest from Virginia Tech, a bunch of other schools. It ultimately came down to Virginia Tech or Wisconsin and coming back home. I knew the coaches. So the coach that recruited me to Wofford, he got the job at Virginia Tech. He took two coaches with him. He took two of my teammates with him. And so I knew a lot of people there. I had a ton of familiarity and knew what I was getting. I knew that I was going to start in the ACC from the get-go. I knew I was going to play heavy minutes and kind of run the team. And looking at any other school, I wasn't so sure of that. And so I knew I had to go there, and it was just fun too to read.
Yeah. It was more just like the logical choice at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And you guys, dude, you guys ended up having a great year.
We did.
You guys made it to the championship, right?
We did. Yeah. We struggled up front. We were 0-4 to start the ACC play. And then 2-7. Dead last in the ACC, and then things clicked. We kind of turned things around, came together, and won 13 of our last 15, and won 4 in a row in the ACC tournament to win it all against Duke. Yeah,
dude, that is crazy. I remember seeing a highlight. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. This is either when you were playing for Virginia or you were playing for Wofford, one or the other. I want to say it was when you guys were like going in the championship or in the tournament or something. And there was this video of you on the court and you shook one dude, passed the ball, like I think, but like behind your back, but between your legs at the same time or something crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember I had not really seen you play yet at that point. And either Landon someone showed me. And I was like, holy smokes. I had watched that thing like 20 times, dude. I thought it was so cool. Do you know the clip I'm talking about?
I think I do. Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
Bro.
We had some fun moments. And I mean, yeah, specifically, I had one crossover against Duke my senior year when I was at VT in the championship game that went viral. And I hit the shot. Yeah. And that was just, I mean, to talk about like my whole sports career, it could really all be boiled up into that final week of basketball for me in the ACC tournament because, I mean, I couldn't have dreamt of a better week, a better scenario, playing in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, against Duke, against UNC, against Clemson, Notre Dame, to win an ACC championship. The way we came back from the start to do it it was kind of just – all the ups and downs of, you know, my life and my career in basketball all culminating into that victory was kind of a dream moment for me.
Yeah, man. That's a textbook. Like,
yeah,
if you could write it anyway, you would want to have some sort of story like that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So what was it that clicked for you guys? I mean, you said going into it wasn't so great. What was the turnaround?
Yeah. So the really, really cool thing that Coach Young did throughout our losing. And this is what I like to talk about a lot, which I think is a huge life lesson for business, for relationships, for marriage, for anything. yes, find a partner in a team that you can win with, but even more so, have somebody in a team that you can lose with. And that's what we had. We had a team that came together even more when we were losing. We had a coach who was continuing to encourage us instead of rip us and get mad at us. Of course, there's things to learn and progress in, but our belief didn't waver. He said, for the same reason that we all committed and came to this team to start the season, and the rankings came out preseason, that we were a top 25 team in the country, no one's left. We all have the same players. We're all just as good. It's just going to click at the right time. So we kept believing that that would happen. We kept our heads high and kept working. We increased our work in the gym, and soon enough, we hit our stride. Two, three games, we won in a row, and we're like, who can stop us now? And so I think that momentum that we got was huge, and we just took that, carried it through the last 15 games of the season. But that was something that was huge. Was looking back, we had a team that we were really good losers, actually, and we figured out how to turn that around. We didn't quit. We didn't get bogged down. We didn't, nitpick on who was shooting the ball too much or playing too much. We had a really, really good leadership team, and kind of figured it out from there. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to zero in on this a little more because you're saying some really awesome stuff. So you guys were really good losers.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Like practically when you guys would
Yeah.
lose, what did that process look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's a good question. I know that it hurt, right? We didn't like losing. We weren't, good losers in the sense that we were celebrating anything bad, but we, it stung. But we did not hang our heads on it too much. We didn't sit there and sulk. Our coaches were like, this is not you guys. Like, this, you're not playing like yourself. We're close, right? We were only losing games by 2, 3, 4 points. So we're a couple possessions away from winning all of these games. So they were like, they were confident that we're going to hit a few more shots, get a few more stops. And while we could look at the record and look at the losses and listen to Twitter and listen to the fan base that's super upset with us, it was really cool because we kind of just laughed at it. Even in the locker room, the guys were talking about, oh, Storm, you're getting ripped on Twitter all week, by these guys. I wonder who's actually saying that. Some guy who never played basketball in his life. Or we just started joking about who was getting made fun of and like who had a bad shot, a bad game. And it wasn't like blaming. It was actually kind of a fun thing to kind of soak in. And then our coaches, they kept continued to push us and push us and push us. We started realizing we had five, we had, sorry, we had three 5th-year seniors. So me, Keve, and Justin were 5th-year seniors. So this is our last go around in college basketball. And we had two other juniors that had started for a couple of years. So we were an older and experienced team. But really quick with Keve, Justin, and I was like, these are our last 2 months. These are the last 2 months of college ball, all of our life, before we go our separate ways. And we really came together. I mean, we would hang out 8 hours a day, us three. We'd go to practice, hang out all day long for the last 2 months of the season. So we, even outside of the court and outside of the locker room, we were really getting close as a team. I think that's what really helped propel us to win a lot of our last games.
No, that's so awesome, man. Yeah, even it, as you say that, like I'm reflecting on my times with when I played sports and or even when I was back training really full time.
Yeah.
It's like you don't. I think it's important that you do have those moments where you realize, man, this won't be here forever, and like maybe it won't be as profound as like this is the last time, but it won't be here forever. And
Yeah.
when you have that thought, it really does change how much you enjoy it, how hard you want to work during it, how much just the process of it is more enjoyable, everything. It's I find that very interesting. I try to challenge myself to look at that with everything in life.
Yeah.
Like this won't be forever, as good or bad as it is. And so I think it's cool that you guys had that moment and that was sort of like the catalyst of like let's crush this. Let's get after it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're so right. That's probably the hardest thing for any of us to do, just even like on a daily basis in life. Maybe it's not one job or one, sports team that we're on, but just every day, I can find myself so many times just coasting through the days and not really numbering them and saying, hey, I got a finite time on this earth and just a few days here in this city or a few days here in this job. And yeah, it's, I think it's a really, really huge thing. I actually was hit with this a lot when I was overseas. I really started to take for granted the life I had in the United States. I really got homesick for the first time in my life, and started to miss all the people, all the friends, all the experiences, little details that I really took for granted living in the United States, being on these college teams, having the experiences I did, that I missed deeply when I was overseas in Germany, kind of living alone, very alone for 10 months. So
Yeah,
you're
actually,
totally right. Yeah.
I want to hit on that too, because after you guys won the championship, which is crazy. Well, so again, forgive me, because I'm not super. I should be. I played college football, but like I'm
Yeah,
not
yeah.
literate with like all the divisions and stuff.
Yep.
So ACC championship is separate than like a national championship.
Correct. Yep. So that's our conference championship. We actually found out we had to win that just to get into the big March Madness dance, the NCAA tournament with all teams around the country. So we did get into that, played Texas in the first round. We lost, unfortunately, but that would have been ultimately a national championship. Maybe not for us, but that's the tournament there. So, yeah, so we won the ACC championship, played a game in March Madness, and lost, unfortunately. But yeah.
It, that's so that's kind of crazy. So again, I'm trying to process this all myself. The
Yeah.
ACC, like the teams in the ACC are like the teams,
Yeah. Well, yeah,
right?
I think four or five of them made the Elite Eight in the national championship run that year, and then Duke and UNC both were in the Final Four, and we had just beat them to win the ACC championship. So they were in the Final Four of March Madness, and then UNC got second and lost to UConn, I think. So yeah, so two of those teams we had beaten in the semis and the championship of the ACC tournament to win it, which
Yeah, that's
was a really,
awesome.
really cool thing to make it even more significant. Yeah.
Wow, that is really cool. Dang. Okay, so you wrap up your senior year,
Yeah.
and then you decide to commit to go overseas. So what did that look like? Because you were in Germany. It's
Yep.
I don't know what those divisions are called, but what did that whole process look like?
Yeah. So kind of right after my year at Virginia Tech when we had won, you kind of get into a process with agents. Agents are reaching out, they want to hire you and represent you to teams overseas or in the NBA, the G League. So I thought about, everyone and had discussions. Knew I was probably going to end up going overseas, those who can't make the NBA. I had a couple workouts, Bucks and Wizards, just to kind of get some feel for, my name and reputation within the league. Did
Okay.
not make it, of course. Went overseas, hired an agent out of Serbia. He's super connected to a lot of European teams. Had an offer in Germany after, saying no to a few in other countries. Played for a team called Metipolis Jena, a city called Jena, Germany, kind of an eastern central German team, in the Pro A. So really, really good league. We have, a lot of Americans, really reputable team that has won the league many, many years. So I was really excited to go there. And, I can get into all the details about the market over there and playing professional basketball, how crazy it can be. But ultimately loved it, also hated it. It was a big roller coaster of a year. I mean, over there for 10 months, kind of alone, which, like I mentioned, got homesick for the first time in my life. And, even though I loved it, kind of, achieved that dream. And I'll always be glad that I did go do it, or else I'll always wonder what if and what if. So glad I did it, but ultimately wanted to finish up just 1 year.
Yeah, okay. And so what was it like over there when you were playing? I mean,
Yeah.
was it as hard as you imagined? Was it easier than you imagined?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. So it's very different from college. The play style, it's actually quicker because the shot clock's a lot shorter. And these are all grown men. I know there's a lot of athleticism in skill in college, but these guys are 35, 38, 40-year-old men that are playing. And it's a whole different ballgame. So a lot more size over there. And a lot more kind of X's and O's. Coaches are drawing up a lot of plays. You have to play fast, you have to play a certain way, and it's very different than college. So me getting adjusted to that was a big change.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of interesting because you have to deal with all these personalities. In college, you kind of have your role, you're playing for your coach with your teammates. In Europe, you're kind of playing for yourself, and it's kind of toxic. It's not all about winning because now you're on a contract and you're trying to make more money, and so are your teammates. And they want to shoot more, they want the ball more, and so it can kind of get dicey and very competitive, even within the team. So that's a hard thing to juggle. How do we continue to set our minds on winning when these distractions are happening amongst the team and in the locker room? I have some really, really, really great friends from that season that I was able to gel with, and I did love playing that style of basketball over there, but it can be tough. It can be very tough. Yeah.
There, if I'm hearing you correctly, there's just a little bit of drama amongst the team.
What really didn't make it easy was that we had three head coaches in our 8-month season. So that was like three whole entire seasons of itself. One coach, one coach, one coach. New players came in. I think I had 17 or 18 teammates that year. So just people coming in and out of the team and coaches, liking some players, not liking the other players. And it just made it very, very interesting. I went from starting, playing a ton of minutes, scoring a ton, having a ton of assists. I partially tore my hamstring, so I was out for about a month and a half, almost 2 months. And when I came back, we had a new coach, we had a new player. So getting adjusted to that was just a lot of drama.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I don't understand. So what was the deal with having three rolling through three head coaches? It sounds like it was very disorganized.
I mean, because we were really good and we were supposed to win the league, and the team has done that in the past. As soon as so two, three of us. Three of us Americans of five of us got injured and were out for a month to 2 months. So
Oh, wow.
that really hurt the team, and we lost, I think, four games in a row. So we went from first in the league to like almost last, early in the season. And the coaches, the GMs, the directors just were like, this is a new coach as well. This coach hadn't been for many years. So they kind of got rid of him and then pulled in the next one. And that's kind of just the market over in players. At least our contracts are guaranteed for the whole year, but they can kind of just say, hey, you're out, don't show up, we'll pay you, but see ya. And I've had teammates that play on three or four different teams in three or four different countries in one season. So it can be very cutthroat.
Wow. And how did you, I want to give you full permission to brag on yourself here if you can. How did you stack up skill wise? I mean, were you able to go out there and just like be dominating?
So it was interesting. I did play really, really well the first like month, first 5 or 6 games. I think it was like third in the league in scoring, and I think I was first or second in the league in assists. So I was doing really, really well. So I was able to go out there and perform, especially when I knew I had the freedom to do it, when I had the confidence in myself, I had the confidence from some teammates and my coaches. It was like, I'm going out there and I'm going to go destroy. As soon as I came back from injury 2 months later with a new coach who also brought a new point guard, we were kind of button heads, and I didn't really have the full freedom and the green light to go and shoot and score and be aggressive. And so then I kind of had to navigate and feel it out. Going to go and still play like myself. So that was a really hard thing for me to do. That was much different from the start. So yes, I think I did play really, really well, and then it just got very dramatic and hard to do.
Yeah. You've already said this, but I want to lean into it a little bit. You talked about it being really lonely over there. I guess you were feeling really lonely. And I know you're a believer, and I know I've heard a little bit from Landon that, this was kind of just like a, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe like a, just a dark time for you. Like what was that like? You're overseas, you're trying to play ball, you're going through all this drama, you're not connected, you're not like it just felt lonely. What was that internal process like?
It was difficult. I had gone from 4 or 5 years in college with, campus outreach, Christian ministry organization, tons of friends, roommates, mentors leading me in my faith and super involved daily, weekly. A really great and connected church that I was going to every week, and just easy access to talk to anyone and meet with anyone, over coffee anytime to talk personal things and life things and faith things. I go to Germany. I I'm living by myself. Me and all my teammates are spread out around the city. So I'm in my own place. There's no English speaking churches. The time zone to talk back to friends in the United States is all different and messed up. So that access is not there. And then, you know, the problem with it too, and why it was so lonely is, although this might sound nice, it wasn't, but work was about 2 to 3 hours a day. And it was going to the gym, it was practicing, it was talking schemes for the next game. But then I had, you know, 10, 12 hours left in the day that I had no clue what to do. And I'm living in my own apartment, just kind of in the city where I don't know anywhere else. I can't really travel to other friends anytime soon. So, you know, I got all this time that I kind of just got to figure out what to do. And so I'm a guy who loves being busy, who loves being social, who loves being around people and interacting 24/7. I cannot say no to things, but now I just have an empty schedule with nothing to do. And so that was really, really hard for the first time in my life to deal with. That made it a kind of a dark time for me. Felt very alone, felt very doubtful of what I was doing and the fun I was having doing it. So being over there can be really tough. And I know a lot of friends who are, you know, less extroverted, less social than me, that over there playing and they still feel it. You know, they really struggle being over there. You know, it'd be hard to find some Americans over there that love the lifestyle. Yeah.
So did you consider, were you able to go play somewhere else? Did you want to try and go play somewhere else?
Yeah. So I actually, you know, even in the midst of my year in Germany, because of all the drama we were having, my agent and I were talking to some other teams. So we were trying to, you know, potentially move to a different country, different team throughout the year. That didn't happen. I stayed. And then, you know, going back the following year, which would have been my second year overseas, I did entertain it. I had 4 or 5 offers to go overseas. I think 2 of them I was really excited about.
Yeah.
And when it got to the decision process, the decision time, for me to sign on to jumping on a plane to go over there for 10 months again, where things, you know, might not go great again. Yeah. I just could not get myself to jump on that plane and do it again. So at that point, when I knew I felt that way, I knew it was time for me to be done. I was like, it's not going to be healthy for me to go over there and play anymore.
Yeah. And I guess that's really the only route. That's kind of the route you have to go if you don't go straight to the NBA out of college.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You got to go overseas. You know, some guys will go overseas and play and then end up coming back and playing the NBA if they do really well over there. But, you know, when you go overseas, you open yourself up to a big market, right? I'm a 22, 23-year-old kid, and there's 35, 36, 38-year-olds playing over there that are very experienced and have a great track record, great career. So now you're not just in a college scenario where you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and you kind of follow that hierarchy and playing time and opportunity. Now you got to go over there as a young kid and play really, really well against these veterans. So there's just tons of players, tons of Americans getting over there, and not a ton of spots. So it can get really, really competitive.
Yeah. Dang, man. So you get to the end. I guess the end where you're like, yeah, they made that decision. You decide you don't want to go back over. You realize that was essentially the end of your career.
Yep.
And what was that moment like? That's a pretty profound moment.
For sure. Yeah. I think it didn't hit me as hard just because I knew there was kind of a buildup to it. You know, throughout that season overseas, I knew I'm not loving this and I'm probably going to be done. So I had about 6-7 months through the end of that season in the spring and summer before the next one to kind of wrestle with it, think about it, and took some time off too. When I was done with that season, I took, you know, 3-4 months off pretty much. And, you know, I realized I didn't really miss it. I didn't really, caught myself working a ton at it and wanting to go back. So I think I had a good buildup of realizing that was kind of the time for it. So I was totally at peace with it and had a lot of good, you know, friends and family members and mentors talk to me about the decision and, had some good opportunities to transition into. So was really, really happy coming back to the States, being here, having friends and family close, and looking back 2 years almost from it now, I don't regret it at all. So
yeah. So what would be, I like asking questions like this. It's kind of a loaded question, because there's never an easy answer. But you look back over your career and your time playing basketball. I guess, like, what was the biggest takeaway you had from all of it?
Yeah. Wow. That is a loaded question.
There's like 10 things you could pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And to make it, I don't want to make it basketball specific, but kind of my whole sports journey in all that I was able to go and do. I think I can really, really boil it down to looking back when I was a kid, right? The risk I took, the work ethic I had to put into that decision is what ultimately led me to play college successfully, pro successfully. So I would say, bet on yourself, take a risk, but you better have a mindset that you're in for the journey and you're obsessed with it and you're going to go work at it. Like it's the only thing that matters to you. So I think that is something that you can take into, any life decision, any business decision. But really looking back at what I did at an early age, better myself, and I knew I had an obsession and a mindset that there's going to be a grind and a lot of hours going to be put in and a lot of, negatives were going to come. But ultimately, the beautiful thing was that it all turned out to be a huge blessing and a huge success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you go into after playing professionally? You told me a little bit beforehand, but what are you doing now?
Yeah. So I'm in real estate development for a company called Neutral Project. I've known our CEO for years and years and years, and kind of transitioning out of basketball, my family has done real estate. I studied finance. So it was a good kind of, marriage between the two. And the opportunity was there. It's early startup company. And so a chance to get in and be with the company for almost 2 years now to really grow. And so doing real estate developments, we're building, multi-family apartments in Wisconsin and finance team. So raising investments from investors and then making sure that the deals work financially as well. So I've loved it. We're busy. There's a lot of work to go around. We're a small team, a lot of young guys. Two colleagues, they're 24, 26, and I'm 25. And so we're young, and we're doing big deals. So, I love being busy and being around these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know your boss? So you know, you said you knew your boss for years, but is he, he kind of like, was it that connection that got you the jobs? You kind of reached out to him or what did that?
Yep. So I've known him since fourth grade. He did what I'm doing now previously for another company. Started this one about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've been kind of following along, talking to him throughout the process of, what they're doing. So as I finished up studying finance, I kind of loved what they were doing, thought potentially down the road I could join in. And so as I was transitioning out of Germany, talked to him a lot just about an opportunity. And then I had a good timeline for it too. I was able to work here kind of in the spring and summer, right after I was done playing in Germany, to see how I liked it. And if it was something I wanted to go full time. So it's kind of a little taste, a little internship. And then ultimately, before going back overseas, which I did not, wanted to stick on.
Yeah, I got you. And has your, I know the answer to this question, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah.
Has your athletic discipline and, everything you learned playing sports, have you noticed it translate into the quote unquote real world?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally have. I've seen, how much work it takes, how much multitasking, leadership, strategy, all the things that I had to do with coaches and teammates, pregame, postgame, throughout a game, on planning and scheming and, breaking down film, communicating, dealing with conflict. That all happens, in the business world. That all happens here in our office. And it's absolutely, kind of one and the same. And I've tried to take a lot of that and pour it into this, which seems to work well. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, people, some people don't realize like athletes can kind of get a bad rap, you know. All you do is play sports and all you do is work out, blah, 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 yep. whatever. It's like, yeah, but
yep.
there's a lot of the intangible qualities that you just, you can't get anywhere else, man. Unless you're choosing to do something hard in a different arena and you do it for years and years and years and years. But yep. like when you really devote yourself to a craft and the discipline and the structure and all that, like you step into another arena that you want to, that you're motivated to be in, you'll crush it just because you have that skill set.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of other, you know, ex-teammates of mine who have gone into the business world and they're thriving too. So I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm a huge advocate of doing something hard for a really, really long period of time. And you'll become a different human being. You just will.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
Well, dude, this was a really great podcast, man. I'm really glad you get to share your story, talk about it. I'm a huge fan of you, dude. Like, and I know, like, I'm telling you, watching your highlights, I was blown away. There's actually one of, this is a funny story. I was watching Landon's story one time when you guys were going through the airport.
Yeah.
And y'all were, you were like posting up on people. And if they, yep. like, as soon as they got close to you, just like fall down. Bro, I thought that was so funny.
That was like my first,
like, I was like, who is this guy? And then yeah. he showed me some other clips he playing, and I was like, man, Keith, like, I find it so impressive, dude, because I've tried to play basketball several times, and, like, I can run around and pass the ball and do stuff, but when it comes to, like, dribbling and, like, doing anything remotely impressive, like, it for whatever reason, I cannot do it. I learned how to do a standing backflip when I was drunk, okay, yeah. at, like, 19,
yeah.
but then I tried to go dribble basketball, and I was like, this ain't working, dude. This is just not working.
That is, wow, a standing backflip.
So, but that's why I find it so impressive, man, your ability to handle the ball and just play, and you're very athletic, great dude. So I'm really glad you got to hop on here and share this with people, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Where can people find you on social media if they want to look you up?
Yeah, Instagram primarily, storm.murphy is my handle on there. So, yeah, reach out.
Cool. All right, you guys, that's been another episode of the podcast. We love you all. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, just keep moving forward.